101 and Priya, both maybe. Yeah, I mean, when you are on this bhakti path, you are on the path back home to Godhead, right? And life, a real life, is blissful, it's happy, it's abundant. Nothing lacking us. Now, sometimes we find, I think it seems, like in religious institutions, religious groups like that, can happen a kind of psychology, I think it is, enters. That, well, I can only speak for the one I served in, on both the side of the leaders and the followers, the ones working for the leaders. So I've seen it pretty much through and through, and I think I can give a pretty true picture of it. As an example only, not as criticism or anything. But that, you know, here you are and you end up in a leadership position, temple president and all these fine titles, temple commander, Sankirtan leader. And you are, now I'm someone. Sometimes, you know, you're young in those days, just guys. So I'm talking about the 70s, 80s here. And I don't know much how it developed. Well, 90s I could even include. It was like that. And because out of necessity, utilities to principle, someone has to take care of the management here and the economy and the, you know, administration of everything. And we kind of didn't really think of that first. You know, it's here we, Jai Ho, we're going to serve God here and serve Krishna and be happy and chant Hare Krishna and be happy together. And, you know, but then, oops, we need money also. We need food cooked and taken care of and served and floor clean afterwards and pots cleansed. I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on here, and well, but that's just material. No. And I remember this is the first, my first encounter with, or with devotional service, with bhakti yoga, that cleaning the floor. No, it's just material. No. It's a way of serving God. Even doing your ordinary duties for your family and so on. Society, that's also your part of serving God. So yeah. But then more often than not, I dare say, the big guys there up in the management top kind of were not exactly how to say qualified for the job. I mean, having no education in how to manage things, and no education in economy or finance, whatever administration of an organization. I mean, we all know that these are positions that people learn in educations, sometimes, you know, university educations and business school, whatever. And here we were dropouts. Some of us, I think most of us, had hardly any education at all. What to speak of professional experience. So again, more often than not, or in some cases, there were problems, you know, and everyone was supposed to live there in those, on that compound called the temple, or then you had farm, so on. And there it became a little society, but the task of managing that society good enough for everyone to be happy and satisfied was sometimes overwhelming for that poor temple president or whoever, who may have just stumbled into that position out of necessity, or some person ambitious really wanted to be someone, and well, then you learn something, because you might see that here I am adored as a great leader, but then you're also getting criticized when you do things not right. So we learn the hard way, but that's a way to learn. But then what can happen then, and I saw it happening, that the leader up there, who's also now the representative of Parampara, or, you know, we learned it that way, that even the temple president is representing Krishna here, and the guru and the acharya, whatever, GBC. So there was a spiritual superiority there expected as well sometimes. I don't know, but some temple presidents made it look like that, if nothing else. Or you see the leader as important in that way, and kind of, because we were not used at all to having leaders and all that kind of hierarchical structures. We kind of loathed it. I mean, especially me and the gang I was in, my friends. So I think many of us back in those days, 70s, 80s. So anyway, then sometimes you do things the wrong way, and then things don't work out well. And for instance, there may not be enough money, and there's no one who wants to go out and collect anymore to bring in the money to the temple president and the treasurer. Well, I could get into a whole story about that, but I can give a little hint, because I was in the midst of all of that and learned something from it, that accountability and credibility is of crucial importance when you are in some leadership position like that. The management of any group or organization that has the ambition to and is made for being responsible for activities of groups of people, you know, the members of a group, whatever, or the citizens of a society. I mean, it's the same principle we're talking about here all the way up and down. That, and this is just, you know, non-profit organization development 101. Because when that credibility and accountability is there, then people will want, they trust this. They see it's all fair, no shady thing going on behind the curtain. And sometimes we were so naive and we thought we can do these shady, cool things. Look, I learned a new one, how to avoid taxes and whatever. And it's all for Krishna, it's all for God. So it's... someone has to do this job, make things, both ends meet and so on. But then the vicious circle appears that, first of all, people, they see that. Intelligent people in society, they are completely used to that kind of, xian, what we call it, the shady behavior, tax evasion and this and that. I mean, it's nothing new under the sun here. So it's more transparent than they may have thought, those sitting up there in the offices and the temples. So people just stay away. They're crooked. They are, like everyone else. They're just, whisper, whisper, talk, talk, gossip, gossip. And, we go somewhere else, or we stay away here for the time being, wait for better times. And in that way, the organization gets bad economy, because not so many people want to give their valuable time or money to, because I've been one for 25 years, just an ordinary family man. I mean, we really need to carefully measure our economy and expenses. It's a tough world to live in today. So especially when you just step out into society and having no education or professional experience at all at age 45 or something, which it was for me, 44. So anyway, what I wanted to get to was then this place, the temple, the farm, whatever, this beautiful, fantastic, wonderful project that is here for us to make us happy and spread the absolute truth, and whatever it is. I mean, why is it here? Someone even then asked. But hey, we're living here in this building. Oh, we're not repairing it properly. Okay, we don't have money for that. Okay, food is not very good anymore. Sorry, we don't have much money. And then we start hearing. Well, that's what we heard then from the seats of the preachers and the lectures and the temple rooms in the morning and so on. That yes, God's name is Hari, He takes away. And I heard it from some one leader actually here. But, if you want to be wealthy and have it good materially, then you should worship Shiva instead, not Vishnu, not Krishna. He takes away by His mercy. So that's what's going on here now. God is taking away, and that's what we should be happy with. So you should all come and live here. Either you're in or out. are with us or against us. And you should all live here, and I am your leader, appointed by God and the GBC. And this is the happiest place on earth. You should all come. Look how beautiful it is. We're making decorations in our temple room, and look, we painted the building now. This nice color. And look, we are dancing and chanting. Well, some aren't dancing, but the mouths are moving. But sometimes the eyes don't look happy anymore. And you can see, I mean, let's be honest now, that sometimes the mouths move, but the person is there because of duty. And you may ask, is this person happy? And some, they look very happy. But then you may even wonder, is that person really, really happy? So, I mean, well, I mean, in India, I understand it that some of the richest people in the world, which are Indians, they are Vaishnavas. They're worshipping Vishnu. So I think that's just another example of a, what is it called? I don't know if you can call it cognitive dissonance, but you know, adapt a certain philosophy or teachings or scriptural writings to suit your situation, to explain it, to find an explanation how this is all right. It's easy to do that. I mean, you can, and this is being done all the time, often using religion, religious teachings and so on. The books which are often seen as law books for the societies. It's easy to wrangle theological, philosophical statements. Find a little thing here, another there. Old Testament, they did that. We can also do that. On the old Indian scriptures, you find they cut off the hands of the thieves, so we also do that. Sometimes it can just get completely weird. Sometimes it can get completely legal from the point of view of the society we live in. And then the group becomes isolated and strange. So one has to be careful about that also, you know, to either selectively piece together quotes and scriptural injunctions and teachings from here and there to fit one's own and strengthen one's own position or conviction or idea. And that's why being a Brahmana, I mean, the one who knows Brahman, who knows the truth, I mean reality, and Dharma and so on, has to first of all be very, very honest. Honesty, you see, I would say foremost quality for a teacher like that, even if by saying the truth and giving the real understanding will require you to be completely independent of the entire society you live in and take care of yourself and just be dependent on God. And so be it. You have to be ready to live simply and so on. So, yeah. But God takes care. Gandharika, Gir, Dharmaika, they take care of us. Servants. Different ways, depending on what's the best way to take care of us.